Good afternoon. It's 4:30 and 85 degrees in Moorhead. This is Mountain Edition. I'm Jacob Lindberg.
And I'm Kinsey Thompson.
To expose them, to ask questions, and to determine what did or did not happen.
Governor Matt Bevin is defending his response to teacher sick-outs.
Kentucky's latest pension bill has been vetoed by the governor.
A third-generation Kentucky coal miner testified before Congress this week.
State police will use new tech to improve sexual assault investigations.
Attorney General Andy Beshear is warning of medical billing scams.
In sports, Round County Baseball is warming up for a Doc Morris Invitational appearance this weekend.
Bud Luke has the stock report.
And mostly cloudy skies tonight with lows around 60 degrees. Stay tuned for an extended weather forecast after this news.
A Democratic lawmaker is comparing Governor Matt Bevin to various dictators after subpoenas were issued to school districts where teachers held sick-outs. WKYT reports Democratic Representative Dean Shamor says Bevin making lists of people who oppose his agenda is similar to the actions of Hitler and Kim Jong-un. According to WHAS Radio, when asked about the subpoenas, Bevin said taxpayers should be concerned about teachers using sick days to protest in Frankfurt and should use personal days instead.
You may be concerned for your personal retirement and your financial future, and there's certain things you can do about that legally, and there's certain things you might do to feather your nest that would be illegal. And my point is, everybody in life, in society, is expected to follow the rules.
Bevin also said he didn't believe teachers who participated in sick-outs should be terminated without valid reason.
House Bill 358, which aimed to give pension relief to some state-funded agencies struggling with retirement payments, has been vetoed by the governor. Matt Bevin says he appreciates the work and diligence that went into the bill, but felt it violated both the moral and legal obligation to retirees. Republican Senator Whitney Westerfield voted for the bill. WKYT was there when he spoke on the floor regarding his reasoning.
But the services that these quasis provide are more important to me than care is getting paid as quickly as they'd like to be paid. And I'd rather the services not be faced with potential cuts to either the services themselves or the staff that provide them.
The governor hasn't officially called for a special session, but it's speculated he will do so soon.
A Kentucky man made a trip to Washington, D.C. to testify before Congress about the effects of mountaintop mining. Carl Shoup is a third-generation coal miner from Benham, Kentucky. He spoke during a U.S. House subcommittee hearing Tuesday, telling lawmakers he is against mountaintop removal mining. Shoup says something needs to change.
Well, that's people that, like I'm saying, that we need in office to work for us. We're getting destroyed down there, you know. And I know people need jobs and stuff. But, hey, that's what we're telling these politicians up here. Hey, it's the 21st century. We need to, coal is on its way out.
A bill is currently being considered that could restrict the practice. Kentucky Coal Association President Tyler White argues against the bill.
The Kentucky Legislative Ethics Commission denied a request to reconsider its dismissal of a complaint made by a Democratic lawmaker against the Republican House leader on Tuesday. Representative Jim Glenn alleges Republican House leaders used state resources to help prepare an election challenge against him. According to LEX 18, the ethics panel says House Leader David Osborne's actions were authorized by law. Pierce White's an attorney representing Glenn, says the decision abandoned rules against using legislative staff in partisan matters.
New technology being used by the Kentucky State Police is expected to significantly speed up the process of sexual assault investigations. State and KSP officials gathered at the agency's Central Forensic Laboratory Wednesday to announce the new tech. In cooperation with the company Andy, the KSP can now use rapid DNA to get results from specimens in sexual assault cases in just around 2 hours. Commissioner Rick Sanders spoke at the announcement, which was broadcast to KSP's Facebook page.
I'm going to put sexual predators on notice today. If you are a sexual predator in the state of Kentucky, we're going to come after you. And we now have new equipment to come after you quicker. We now have another way to identify who you are. Every measure in public safety is being focused on finding you and seeing that justice is in fact served.
Commissioner Sanders says rapid DNA will not only be effective in convicting sexual predators, but will also be a great tool in exonerating the innocent. It's also expected to help deal with the extensive backlog of untested rape kits throughout the state.
April is National Child Abuse Prevention Month. CoSare Charities founded the Face It movement to raise awareness about abuse prevention. Their guide, Body Safety 101, educates adults about the early signs of abuse. CoSare President Keith Inman says groups are working year-round to prevent abuse.
This region is very sports crazy, and we like to be number one in basketball and number one in football. We certainly don't want to be number one in abuse and neglect. That's the reason that CoSare Charities made a bold move in 2013 to do this. And since then, we've brought together 70 organizations around the state focused on trying to improve those numbers.
The Body Safety 101 guide is online at faceitabuse.org. People who suspect child abuse is asked to call Kentucky's Child Protection Hotline at 1-877-KY-SAFE-1.
Attorney General Andy Beshear has issued a scam alert to warn of medical billing scams targeting families. WMKY's Haley Stidham has the story.
According to EKBTV, Kentuckians have reported a suspicious van driving around paying Medicaid participants $20 for DNA samples and health insurance information, while other senior Kentuckians are receiving calls offering medical devices through Medicare. Beshear says in both instances, scammers try to steal the victim's insurance and personal information in order to receive a reimbursement for services or medical devices that were not provided or medically necessary. Kentuckians who may have provided their Medicaid information to a suspicious person or company are encouraged to call the Office of Attorney General's Medicaid Fraud Hotline at 877-228-7384. For WMKY News, I'm Haley Stidham.
We'll be back with more news right after this.
Support for MSPR comes from the Recreation and Wellness Center at Morehead State University. The Wilson Bowling Lanes in the Laughlin Building are open to the public for birthday parties, youth groups, by the hour or per game pricing. Cosmic Bowling features disco and black lights. Open Tuesday through Saturday from 5 to 9 p.m. For more information and reservations, the phone number is 606-776-3457.
Carter County Fiscal Court has been awarded over $484,000 in discretionary funds for critical pavement improvements to be made to 14 area roads. Resurfacing repairs include surface cracks, potholes, rutting, crumbling shoulders, and base failures on roads the county calls the most critical due to deterioration. Carter County Judge Executive Mike Malone says the project will be very beneficial to the community.
I don't think that we've ever spent more. I mean, since I've been in office, we have never had more than $250,000 in a year to spend on paving. So, this is almost double the best we've ever had.
The roads that will be worked on provide access to 161 homes and businesses in the area and provide important links for school buses, prospective economic development businesses, and recreation. The project is scheduled to start in June.
State transportation officials have announced over $500,000 in discretionary funds for vinyl resurfacing roadwork in Boyd County. The Daily Independent reports the funds will be used to repair Straight Creek and Tarpon Ridge roads. Both roads were identified as being among the most critical in the county. Officials with the Department of Rural and Municipal Aid detailed the allocation of the new funds during Tuesday's Boyd County Fiscal Court meeting. Resurfacing repairs will address existing surface cracks, potholes, rutting, crumbling shoulders, and base failures. The Boyd County Fiscal Court is responsible for administering the work, and KYTC will reimburse the county for the projects.
The Boyd County Fiscal Court approved the first reading of a new bond on Tuesday. WMKY's Cassidy Stearman has more.
The proposed $2.1 million bond will help upgrade the jail on Tuesday. Boyd County Jailer Bill Hensley gave the court an extended list of improvements needed. After the meeting, Boyd County Judge Executive Eric Chaney estimated up to $1 million will be used for the jail, and the remaining money will be used for energy efficiency upgrades to the facilities in the county. Officials tell the Daily Independent they feel the amount could be around $1.8 million. For WMKY News, I'm Cassidy Stearman.
The mayor of Lexington is pressing the reset button on city spending. Mayor Linda Gorton warns city spending is outpacing revenues, and she's recommending the Urban County Council adopt a more restrained budget for the coming fiscal year. Gorton says revenues in the city are softening while spending is on the rise.
Lexington's fixed expenses in personnel, pensions, debt service, utilities have dramatically increased.
Gorton says that the upcoming spending plan will focus on slightly scaling back city programs and does not include any tax adjustments or mayor layoffs, so residents are likely to not notice any changes.
People from across the region will have a chance to show off their strength while raising money for a good cause this weekend in Moorhead. The Moorhead City Police Department's second annual truck pull will be held at 3 p.m. Saturday at the Moonlight Stage in downtown Moorhead. Assistant 911 Director Kim Fannin says the money raised will help support Special Olympic athletes who will participate in the state games this summer.
It's a truck pull, so it's whoever pulls it fastest gets an award. We even have a one for dead last. We have one for, you know, best team costume. We have one for biggest team donation. I believe Reno's got that last year. They were the team that raised the most money.
15 teams have already registered, but spots are still open to participate. For more information or to register, contact Fannin at the Moorhead Police Department.
Moorhead State University will be welcoming a professional musician next week. Horn player Ronald Beitel will be visiting MSU's campus Monday, April 15th to perform and teach a masterclass. Dr. Curtis Hammond is an associate professor of music at Moorhead State University. He says Beitel has a session planned out specifically for the students.
He's going to do a performance. He's going to play a little bit at 1 o'clock, and we'll be in the recital hall, and then he'll work with the student ensemble. They're doing an arrangement of Overture to the Magic Flute, arranged for four horns, and they're going to work on that and play that for him and take his comments. And then at 3 o'clock, he'll do the master class, and that's where I'll have two or three students that are working on their solo works for their juries. We'll play for him and take his comments and helpful hints.
Beitel has been part of a number of professional orchestras. He will be performing in the Duncan Recital Hall at 1 p.m. and will be hosting the masterclass at 3. Admission is free and open to the public.
Taking a look at the extended weather forecast, tonight mostly cloudy skies with a low around 61. Tomorrow, a chance of showers and thunderstorms before 1 p.m., mostly cloudy with a high near 70. Tomorrow night, a 10% chance of showers before 7 p.m., mostly cloudy skies with a low around 52 degrees. On Saturday, a 20% chance of showers after 3 p.m., partly sunny with a high near 70. On Saturday night, a 30% chance of showers, mainly after 2 a.m., mostly cloudy with a low around 56 degrees. Looking at the temperatures in the surrounding area, in Flemingsburg, it is 82 degrees, Maysville, 83 degrees, in Ashland, 86 degrees, Inez, 85 degrees, in Lexington, 83 degrees, and right here on the beautiful campus of Moorhead State University, 86 degrees.
On our feature story this afternoon, a large-scale industrial greenhouse may be coming to Rowan County soon. WMKY's Logan Pemberton has the story.
The eastern part of our state was known for powering the country. It's well positioned to get to major markets, and we can hit 70% of the U.S. population from where we're at in the eastern part of our state.
In an interview with Tom Martin from member station WEKU, App Harvest founder Jonathan Webb lays out the goal that his company is working toward.
App Harvest is taking proven technologies that we have seen in the Netherlands, a country that is one-third the size of Kentucky in landmass, and we're taking those proven technologies and deploying them in our region.
The influence of the Dutch agriculture system is prevalent in App Harvest's economic plan, which, according to Webb, leads to a more efficient and natural produce.
The Netherlands has the second most agriculture exports in the world, only behind the United States, and that is because they grow with massive efficiency, with very little input. So 80 to 90% less water than open field agriculture, no harsh chemical pesticides.
All while cutting the dependency on imported food, increasing the accessibility of the produce consumed, and improving the environmental impacts of delivering the product.
Produce imports from Mexico have nearly tripled over the last 10 to 15 years, 4 billion pounds of tomatoes last year alone. So we want to take that production that's currently sitting 5 days on an 18-wheeler to get to major markets on the eastern seaboard, and we want to reduce that that down to a one-day truck drive, which would ultimately reduce our environmental impact and footprint from the diesel of the transport.
Why Eastern Kentucky? Webb says the region allows App Harvest to access more than 70% of the nation's population in a one-day drive. But more importantly, it brings a growing industry into an area of the country that has suffered from economic disparities in the past.
I've tried to communicate that it has not been an effort against a coal. That's a piece of rock in the ground, right? It's communities that have been deeply impacted, that the one industry that we had in the eastern part of our state was really ripped out from underneath of us. And it was done by a community that was wildly funded and brilliant in so many ways. How do we harness that passion that's fighting for sustainable development? And how do we try to get some of that working with us?
App Harvest was originally set to settle in Pikeville, but now the company has made the decision to come to Moorhead.
We had initial plans in Pikeville, and I will be with the University of Pikeville president next week and still committed to working in that community on more of a research effort with the university. But our first large production facility, we have moved over to Moorhead, and that first facility will be 60 acres under glass.
According to Webb, the decision of an estimated $80 million 60-acre glass greenhouse opens the door to more environmentally friendly agriculture.
So our facilities will run completely on recycled rainwater, which takes, as we all see, kind of this press on infrastructure with aging infrastructure and water issues.
But Webb says the technology included inside the facility is what is most impressive.
The lighting that we supplement, so year-round we'll be able to grow. And in essence, what I've tried to say is the greenhouse itself is just living. So if weather patterns coming in, we have software, we have sensors, humidity controls. We're trying to control the environment inside the facility in order to maximize the climate for the specific plant varieties we're growing.
With such a large industrial greenhouse coming to the area, university students will have access to a great opportunity.
I did meet with the Moorhead State Uni president twice. We again have committed to working with the University of Pikeville, but frankly, we think there's an opportunity for all of the large institutions in our state.
And Webb hopes to connect Kentucky schools with universities in the Netherlands.
I was with the ambassador of the Netherlands last week at their embassy, and we're working hard to try and get the major universities in the Netherlands linked up with our universities. I don't think that's App Harvest's job per se to kind of run that effort, but we're doing our best to coordinate with the major universities in our state, from the University of Kentucky over to the University of Pikeville, and try to back channel with some of the major universities in the Netherlands.
Details regarding the App Harvest greenhouse are expected to be announced soon. As for now, you can visit the company's website at appharvest.com for more information. For WMKY News, I'm Logan Pemberton.
The time is 4:48. I'm Jacob Lindberg here with Kenzie Thompson. And we're glad you joined us on this Thursday afternoon. WMKY's Joe Lewis has sports right after this quick timeout.
Support for MSPR comes from Bypass Pond, 897 Flemingsburg Road in Moorhead. Bypass Pond buys, sells, trades, and loans almost anything of value. Cash for gold, silver, jewelry, and diamonds. Tools, video games, televisions, computers, hunting supplies, music gear, and guitars. Bypass Pond is open 9 a.m. to 6 p.m., Monday through Saturday, noon to 5 on Sundays. 897 Flemingsburg Road in Moorhead. Phone number is 780-7296. Facebook and online, bypasspond.com.
A very pleasant good afternoon to you. Taking a look at your WMKY Sports Report, I'm Joe Lewis. The Rowan County baseball team is warming up for its Doc Morris Invitational appearance this weekend. The Vikings brought home two wins last Saturday. Their pitchers pulled off a perfect game against both Lewis and Powell counties. Head coach Scott Collins says resting this week is just as important as practice.
Because, like I said, we play a ton of games there in a short amount of time. So, you know, bodies need time to heal from time to time. So, hopefully that give them a little bit of break, and they'll be back ready to go today.
First pitch against Simon Kenton at the Doc Morris Invitational in Northern Kentucky is set for Friday at 5:30. In 16th region baseball action tonight, Bath County heads to Lexington to take on Frederick Douglass. Ashland Blazer hosts Greenup County. Lewis County heads to East Carter. Morgan County takes on Menifee County at home. Fleming County hosts Nicholas County. And Fairview, Raceland, and West Carter continue play in the 16th Region All-A Tournament. In softball action, the Rowan County Vikings look to make it 7 in a row tomorrow when they take on Spring Valley of Huntington at the Tri-State Showcase. After a 2-3 start, Rowan has won 6 straight games and is right in the thick of things in the 16th Region standings. The Vikings play 3 games as part of the weekend showcase. They take on Boyd County and Shelby Valley after tomorrow night's game against Spring Valley. First pitch tomorrow evening between the Vikings and the Timberwolves is set for 5:30 p.m. Another 16th Region softball action tonight. Lewis County heads to Russell. Elliott County plays host to East Carter. Fairview goes on the road to Ashland Blazer. Prestonsburg hosts Morgan County for a doubleheader. Fleming County hosts Mason County, and Bath County, Raceland, and West Carter continue play in the 16th Region All-A Tournament. The Reds made it 2 in a row last night with a comeback win over the Miami Marlins. 8th-inning home runs by Jose Iglesias and Jesse Winkler were enough to put Cincinnati over the top. Here's Reds manager David Bell after the game.
Iglesias, the huge home run, and Wink really coming through there, and it was just great to see how excited, and we're doing everything we can right now, and it wasn't easy tonight, especially against that pitching, but great game.
After losing 8 in a row, the Reds have posted back-to-back wins for the first time this season. Cincinnati closes out its series against the Marlins this afternoon at Great American Ballpark before hosting the St. Louis Cardinals for a 2-game set over the weekend. MSU baseball heads into the weekend riding a 5-game winning streak. The 23-11 Eagles head to Clarksville, Tennessee for a 3-game series against conference foe Austin Peay. The Eagles are 8-4 in the Ohio Valley Conference and trail only Belmont in the league standings. The Governors come into the game at 16-15 overall and are 9-6 in conference play. After wrapping up their series against Austin Peay, the Eagles will make a pit stop in Knoxville to take on the Tennessee Volunteers in a one-off game next Tuesday before returning home to take on Eastern Illinois next weekend. First pitch between MSU and Austin Peay is set for 7 p.m. tomorrow night. And finally, Kentucky will head out under the lights at Kroger Field for the first time since the conclusion of their 2018 season on Friday. The Wildcats host their annual blue-white spring game at 6 p.m., capping the spring practice session as they prepare for Mark Stoops' 7th season as head coach. UK finished the 2018 season with a VRBO Citrus Bowl victory over Penn State, a record of 10-3, the best for the program in 41 years, and a final coaches poll ranking of number 11. The Cats returned starting quarterback Terry Wilson, linebacker Cash Daniel, and most of the main contributors from last year's offensive and defensive lines, but have used the spring to cultivate the next generation of stars with the departure of National Defensive Player of the Year Josh Allen, all-time leading rusher Benny Snell, and one of the most decorated senior classes in school history. The format of the game will pit the blue team versus the white team for 4 10-minute quarters with normal game scoring. Quarterbacks and specialists will play for both teams. Complete game day information for fans attending the spring game can be found at ukathletics.com/gameday. And that's your look at sports. Reporting for WMKY, I'm Joe Lewis.
Support for MSPR comes from MSU Athletics online at msueagles.com. Softball hosts Eastern Illinois at 1 p.m. on Saturday and SIU Edwardsville at noon on Sunday. More information from the MSU Eagle ticket office at 783-2386 or online at msueagles.com.
Good afternoon from the National Offices of Hilliard Lyons. This is Bud Luke with your closing financial markets report for WMKY. Stocks closed along the flat line as Wall Street looked ahead to the start of earnings season tomorrow, and the Dow Industrials did finish with a loss of 14.11 at 26,143.05. The S&P 500 was a little bit better. It finished with a gain of 0.11 at 2888.32. And the NASDAQ Composite was down 16.89 at 7947.36. And J.P. Morgan and Wells Fargo are among the companies set to kick off the latest earnings season tomorrow, which Wall Street believes will be rough. FactSet estimates that first quarter earnings for the S&P fell 4.2% in the first quarter, and this would mark the worst earnings season since 2016. Stocks initially got a boost this morning as investors cheered progress on U.S.-China trade talks. The Wall Street Journal reported that China agreed to open its cloud computing sector to foreign companies in an attempt to sweeten a deal with the U.S. Chipotle Mexican Grill shares fell more than 1% after an analyst downgraded them, citing a full valuation and a run-up that reflects improved visibility for powerful same-store sales and margin drivers. Tesla, meanwhile, fell nearly 3% after a report said the company and Panasonic were holding off on a gigafactory expansion, and the delay, according to the Nikkei report, is due to worries that demand for Tesla vehicles is slowing down. United Health Group was your worst performer in the Dow today, finishing with a loss of 4.38%, this after an analyst cut his price target. And IBM rose about 0.5% after an analyst upgraded the stock based on IBM's push into cloud computing. In the commodities markets, oil was down 0.25% at $63.71 a barrel. Gold was down 1.4% at $1,295.30 an ounce. In Europe, stocks were pretty quiet today. The Stock 600 index was up less than 0.1%. And in Asia, most markets were down, with the Shanghai Composite down 1.6% and the Hang Seng in Hong Kong down almost 1%. Among Dow industrial stocks, the best performers were Boeing and Walmart, while the worst performers were United Health Group and Walgreens. And in the S&P 500, the best performers were Fastenal and Kroger, while the worst performers were United Health Group and Anthem. Turning now to stocks of local interest, it was UPS up 40 cents at $113.48, AK Steel down 23 cents at $2.54, Marathon Petroleum down 48 cents at $63.12, Kroger up 77 cents at $25.75, U.S. Bancorp up 32 cents at $49.62, and Anthem was down 11.74, finishing at $276.30. Reporting for WMKY, this is Bud Luke from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons.
Support for MSPR comes from the Community Recycling Center in Moorhead. The center offers a convenient 24-hour drop-off for a variety of recyclables and on-site pickup program for Rowan County businesses. Shredding services are available for businesses or individuals, and the center provides tours for classrooms and civic groups. Located near the Moorhead City Park, the Community Recycling Center also accepts computers, printers and fax machines, DVDs, CDs, phones, videotapes, and game devices. More information at 784-1250.
The Montgomery County Public Library will host their annual Spring Handicraft Market from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. this Saturday. Locally made arts and crafts, homemade food, and hourly prize drawings.
MSU's Jazz Ensemble will perform their spring concert at 7:30 p.m. on Tuesday, April 16th. The performance will be held in the Duncan Recital Hall of the Baird Music Building at Moorhead State University. Admission is free and the public is invited. Taking one more look at the weather, tonight mostly cloudy skies with a low around 61. Tomorrow, a chance of showers and thunderstorms before 1 p.m., mostly cloudy with a high near 70. Tomorrow night, a 10% chance of showers, mostly cloudy skies with a low around 52. On Saturday, a 20% chance of showers after 3 p.m., partly sunny with a high near 70. And on Saturday night, a 30% chance of showers, mostly cloudy skies with a low around 56 degrees. Temperatures right now in the surrounding area: Flemingsburg, 82 degrees, Maysville, 83, Ashland, 86, Inez, 85, Lexington, 83, and right here in Moorhead, 86 degrees.
That'll do it for Mountain Edition this afternoon. Today, we had help from Leanne Akers, Tanner Boyd, Joe Lewis, Wyatt Melton, Naya Andwaza, Cassidy Stearman, Haley Stidham, Cody Robinson, Brian Courtney, Chaz Jenkins, Greg Jenkins, and Paul Hitchcock. Hilliard Lyons' Bud Luke with your stock report. And our feature segment today came from WMKY's own Logan Pemberton. This is Moorhead State Public Radio, WMKY Moorhead, and translator W202BH Inez. Our show is archived daily on the web at WMKY.org. For Kenzie Thompson and all of the MSPR news team, I'm Jacob Lindberg for WMKY News. All things considered is next. It's 5 o'clock.